Welcome to Pickle Me This, the officially unofficial podcast for Rick and Morty on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim. I'm your host, Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Today we're covering Season 4, Episode 7, Promortius. Here's Aaron with the recap.
Rick and Morty have been enslaved by a xenomorphic species with the all-too-familiar wet-egg-facehugger-wet-egg life cycle. Morty accidentally frees himself and Rick from the parasite's mental domination, and they narrowly escape after laying waste to the facehugger's surprisingly advanced civilization, committing multiple feel-good, fully justified atrocities along the way. Over breakfast, the two recount their story and remember that they forgot one detail. Summer went with them to Facehugger Planet, and she got left behind. Rick and Morty have to go back to a hostile environment full of parasitic alien life that loathes them specifically as individuals in order to rescue Summer. In the process, they discovered that they were the monsters all along. Again. So they didn't really discover anything.
All right, Aaron. It's Promortius. What'd you think about it?
It's another... I mean, they're going into a specific critique of a specific science fiction franchise. This is a little bit of Aliens mixed with a little bit of the Borg commentary they had in what was his ex-girlfriend planet?
Oh, Unity?
Unity, yeah. And it gave like 10 other different pieces of pop culture commentary. Yeah. Like how porn is being used in our society, biological essentialism as it intersects with politics. And how we feel about that, how we feel about national atrocities and too soon. But it was funny, and it ended in like one of the all time like ridiculous shitting your pants jokes of all time.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I like this episode. I know every episode of Rick and Morty is polarizing and divisive in the community. I'm not one of those people. I kind of enjoy most of them. I think there are a few that are, weaker, some that are stronger. I really liked last week's. I like this week as well. I wasn't in this one looking for like, oh, what's all the commentary they're making? I was just kind of enjoying the jokes when they happened. I thought the 9/11 Pearl Harbor joke was particularly choice.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm fucked up in that way. And I was cringing the same as everybody else when, Rick and Morty are... Yeah, Steve and Bruce are making out. Yeah, good stuff.
And especially when you pop it out and realize that, okay, Summer knew that was going around the office, that these guys are an item, but everything that we saw was something that was generated by her mind.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, like, sure, you guys ran off and had a passionate love affair, but, did you have to visualize the sucking and how hard the sucking was happening and et cetera, et cetera? It's pretty good. Plus the whole, I don't know, man, the toothpick thing being the ultimate defense against a facehugger was also fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's talk about this episode. One of the things I think is really interesting is to see, like, again, the stuff that I see burble out of, like, Dan on his podcast and stuff making it to the episode. And one of these things is, like, this divide between Rick, who espouses the philosophy of who the hell even has a Pornhub account?
Uh-huh.
Like, porn is where you shamefully go. You watch something till it fancies your bell, it tingles it rings your bell. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It rings your bell. Yeah, you ring the bell until it don't ring no more, and then you shamefully close it and go about your life. Whereas like Morty, like the younger generation, is like, well, actually, if you get a Pornhub account, it learns your preferences, and then if you got a really cool enough relationship, you can follow each other and check out each other's kinks.
Uh-huh.
I feel a little Rick on this one. I'm on the other side of this divide, man. This seems like not the appropriate amount of shame to have about one's perfectly normal sexual habits, I guess.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like I don't think I should feel the way I feel about it, but I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's probably just a consequence of growing up with parents who were born in the fucking 40s. Like literally,
yeah.
Born in the 40s.
Is this a sexual equivalent of like going along with some kind of religious observance that pleases your parents? Like if, you know, you're like, I don't really believe in the whole Jewish thing, but I'll wear the yarmulke around my dad because so he won't like, is this, you know, something like we're just kind of like, even though we don't believe in the Moors, we've still like adopted them because.
Yeah,
I don't feel, I don't know if that metaphor tracks because I don't think my dad checks up on my Pornhub. Action.
I would hope not. Also, I don't know if you'd want to be spying in on what Rick and Morty are doing with their Pornhub accounts, because there's some weird shit in this episode, man. Some
weird, a lot of hard sucking.
Yeah, stuff I can't really truck with.
I mean, it's not them, though.
And I know, like
a,
I know.
There's a whole level of face between them and their actual faces.
It's very uncomfortable, though. I'll say that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, what if there was a sentient condom? Would you actually be fucking the person that you're fucking, or would you be fucking the sentient condom who's fucking the person that you're fucking?
Damn, just blew my mind.
What are the odds that Rick and Morty explore this before all 10 seasons are up?
100%.
Yeah, that's on the finite curve of space-time reality for the show, I think.
Absolutely.
I think. We got a credit sequence this week. We didn't last week, and you know sometimes that happens because of the timing of the episode or whatnot. I didn't notice anything different about it. Actually, I think that like the story lord might have been new, but then I might be saying that only because I didn't see story lord. I didn't see the credits last week. It's been months since I've seen it, and it just seemed like it was jarring.
Yeah,
but yeah, but also I guess I would believe it if someone told me that there's a couple of changes because they had a couple of months off.
Yeah, I don't know. As a podcaster, I'm usually writing stuff down during the credit sequence, the intro, so I don't really pay much attention to it at all unless I'm specifically doing it, and I didn't think on this occasion, episode 7, that this would be the time to really, you know, dig my teeth into the intro. Although I got to say, it's a shame we got to cancel Rick and Morty. It's a shame we got to do it because apparently Rick's not a fan of podcasts. It canceled. Rick and Morty canceled.
They're boring. Is that an indictment of all podcasts? Or is that an indictment of these reality, true crime, you know, Sarah Caning maybe getting inappropriately attached to the subject of her work kind of thing? Because that's what it felt like to me. This felt very... Yeah. Someone's idea of what Serial season 1 is, and that's all podcasts.
The language is not targeted, but yes, I think you're right. I think there's a certain type of podcast he has in mind. Because I mean, Dan Harmon is a podcaster himself, right? Like that's one of the things that he does creatively. I wouldn't think that he would say podcasts are. Like his own podcasts are boring or creatively bankrupt, but
no, he'd say that too. That's the last year and a half. He loudly said that from the stage every time he started one. Like this show's bad tonight. You shouldn't have come. So you know that kind of avant-garde style of podcasting.
Yeah.
But the thing is like I don't know because I know that this true crime kind of like reality style podcasting is the most popular. Like it's the thing that burns up all the charts. I've never been much for it. I've listened to, I think, 2.5 seasons of Serial and S-Town. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's usually not my fare. I feel like I'm a person who, like, just doesn't listen to pop culture. You know? They just listen to doo-wop. And they're like, I don't understand. The radio's just doesn't have anything for me today. Where's all the doo-wop stations gone? I can only get one in a city if I'm lucky.
Yeah, I mean I checked out the first season of Serial. I got a little bit into season 2, but I was basically in and out on those crime series.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. So one of the things is you know, Dan bought a Tesla and he's really enamored with Tesla products and Elon Musk. He's like horrified, fearful, fascinated of the man.
Yeah.
I thought there's a little bit of Musk commentary with Morty coming in there and telling everybody that he's canceled the plans for the rocket invasion of Earth, you know, where he like turns into the, well, I'm sorry. I had you guys do your job for one fucking day. I'm sorry. I'll get in. And Rick comes in and is like, whoa, ho, boy, the guy's a genius. But, you know, at what cost? I thought maybe there's a little commentary there.
OK, yeah, I wasn't picking up on it. I try not to follow Elon Musk very closely. I like the things he's doing. I'm not sure I like the things he's saying or the things that he does in his personal life. So
yeah,
I try to ignore those for the most part.
Well, you're a Tesla guy too. I can't trust. I need to get a non-compromised host. You've got the face. I can see the face hugger right on you.
Oh yeah.
I really like the idea that Rick in this environment, his host would have this kind of Alex Jones type conspiracy YouTube site about, you know, like, look, the biological differences between us and the host are obvious. Like, they're designed to carry our eggs, and that's the way it should be. That's the all this biological essentialism that you see in so many really regressive arguments. Like, this is why women should be dominated by men. This is why other races should be dominated by blacks, because it's just, look at the biology. You know, you've got a square peg and you've got a triangle hole. It's just not going to work. I thought it's pretty funny to see everyone's reactions to Rick and Morty palling around, like the guy coming up to him and it's like, I'm surprised to see you together because your videos make me sick. Fix him. Uh-huh. Like, I thought that was pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, and it's tough sometimes in this episode to remember that this is not Rick and Morty necessarily, you know, like
right.
You mentioned with the porn stuff and the you know, grandfather grandson incest, underage incest shit. Yeah, like, it's not Rick and Morty doing this stuff, right? Like, Morty is probably a little dumber than this, and Rick is a lot smarter than this, and certainly more nihilistic than any kind of like YouTube host trying to tell you how life is. He doesn't give a shit about that. He doesn't want to tell you anything. He wants to do his own thing. Yeah, I kept like looking at this and going, man, that doesn't seem like Rick. Oh, wait, it's not Rick.
But I wonder, because one of the things in like Xenomorph lore is that they take a little bit of the DNA from their host species. So, like, you know, you've got dog versions of alien, predator versions of alien, human hybrid versions of alien. Is there a little bit of like cross species consciousness contamination there, which I guess brings all the squick right back on the table?
Right. Which I don't want. I'm going to say if they would have shit out an egg, that egg would have definitely had some of their qualities, whatever hatches from that thing. But as is, it's all facehugger, man.
Gotcha. There's a lot of like pop culture references here. They specifically call out Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
And then they had that sweet, you know, we finally find out what that blister in the bottom of Rick's wagon does. It's a quad cannon, just like off the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
But them tear-assing through that city with that big, heavy thing behind them, I thought had to be at least partially inspired by the Fast and Furious 5 bank vault stealing scene.
All right.
Where, you know, Dom's dragging that thing like a wrecking ball through downtown.
Yeah, one of my favorite Fast and Furious scenes, period.
And the pacing of them leading up to their like tasteful decision not to do a 9/11, where they're just rampaging through the city talking about like, oh, you know, it's like morally justified. These are repugnant parasite creatures. And then you see the Twin Towers and it's just like, it's just there.
Yeah.
And it's just there. And then they fly towards it and kind of go around it. And I was thinking like, man, I know how I feel about it, you know, with 20 years distance between me and whatnot. But like, I was thinking like, how will people react? And then they do the Pearl Harbor and I'm like, okay,
yeah,
that's probably for this audience. That's probably, you know, squaring the circle pretty nicely.
Oh, I mean, we're so far removed from Pearl Harbor. Like, I'm not even 40 years old. So like, it's not even a distant memory for me, whereas 9/11 definitely is. Like, I could tell you where I was. I could tell you how I was feeling when it happened. And there are certainly even people with far more personal connections than me. I was in Indianapolis watching on a TV screen, right?
Sure,
I wasn't, you know, two blocks away watching a dust cloud come at me. Like, many, many people I think would be pissed off about the 9/11 thing. Not many people are going to be pissed off about Pearl Harbor.
And you juxtapose it, and it's just like it's a perfect little, it's the perfect base to the alkaline there, I think.
Yeah.
They also, I like the fact that they did this thing where, and this is like, I feel like the Roiland part taking over the episode, where, you know, they realize they go back and they find out they've lost Summer, so they go back to the planet. And they land, and immediately the first someone says, "You guys are the worst thing that ever happened to us." And Rick's like, "Oh." But as they're landing here, he's explaining to Morty, he's like, why this is a bad idea. Because, like, you know, why do you think, you know, we could have like five different plot lines on the Purge planet, and it'd be amazing. Why do you think we never go back to these places? Because I don't do sequels. And then they essentially do Purge Planet sequel with like the flimsiest of plot justifications, the overly complex robotic transportation, and they got the fucking Voltron swords.
I believe that's what we call a lampshade. A giant planet-shaped lampshade.
But, like, it's also kind of like they did it just to prove a point where it's like everyone's like, man, I want them to go back to some planet and just fucking kick a bunch of mindless ass because, like, you know, 30 seconds into it, it becomes way tired faster than it did in the Purge planet. Mm-hmm. And then the characters are even making comments like, oh, God, my arm's getting so tired from swinging. This is like, sometimes I wonder if this isn't like the equivalent of, you know, those old timey shows where like the parent finds out their kid is thinking of smoking. So they make him smoke a whole pack of cigarettes and get sick. Oh, you want to smoke, dude? Well, fucking overdose on this product, and that'll learn you. Do you think that this is the equivalent of making people pining for the Purge planet to smoke an entire six-pack or fight?
Six-pack
cigarettes. That's what they come in, right? Six.
That's one of my favorite King of the Hill episodes, for sure. where, you know, Hank makes Bobby smoke a whole carton of cigarettes.
Yeah, I mean
that's definitely within the spirit of the creators of this show. I think, like, you think you want this, okay, well, we're gonna give it to you by the truckload, and then we're gonna see how much you want it. I don't think, especially, you know, given that the deals are inked and everybody's getting paid for seven seasons of this thing no matter what happens, mm-hmm. I could see them self-sabotaging is probably a little harsh, but just like having their own fun. You know, if the audience is gonna have fun with our jokes, we're gonna have some fucking fun with our audience.
Yeah.
And they're certainly not above that. And they've done it before, they'll do it again.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like there's a lot of self-conscious writing in this season. Yeah. Like saying things like, oh, you know, shouldn't sweat the details too much. We should just be loose and have fun, and et cetera, et cetera. And I wonder, like, and that's kind of funny, like that meta stuff is funny. Do you think it also, if this show like loses half a step, it's going to come back to haunt them, because that's just essentially giving their critics the ammunition. Or as you say, they might not care. They have seven seasons no matter what the hell happens. They've been paid. You know, if you guys want to be shits about it, then fuck you. We'll take our Rick and Morty and go home.
Yeah, maybe. I will say I'm not sensing as much kind of crazy fun from, especially the character of Rick. And I know Rick's, you know, been through a lot. He's starting to change a little bit, but man, I remember some of the older episodes where he would just let loose, you know, and not in this violent way. Like this is the thing, like, yeah, Rick gets violent and Rick doesn't care about killing people because they're less than he is in his own mind. And also none of this matters anyway. He's a true nihilist. But the violence is his release in this episode. He makes that explicit. Like when they're killing people, mm-hmm. he's like, oh man, it's been so long since I let loose like this. I'm sorry I was taking it out on you. And
yeah,
they
have a healthy psychological conversation in the middle of this. Yeah.
But his response to not being able to commit atrocities is to emotionally abuse people around him. Like that's the thing that was so shocking to me, is like there is no yin and yang here. It's all yang all the time. And I wish there was a little more of that yin, where he's, you know, just goes and gets drunk at a party and fucks around and has fun. Or like, I don't know, maybe I'm not remembering points earlier in the season, the first half of the season, where he did that, but I haven't seen this season.
There are ways that he can cut loose. Like I really liked when he went against the Heistotron or whatever it is, and it's essentially, it was like 5 minutes of "I know you are, but what am I?" Or "I meant you to do that." Or I
but
thought
that felt
was
like
pretty
vindictive in a way, right? Like I'm gonna prove that I'm better than you, kind of thing.
So you're talking about just like the part, like a house party, whole house party kind of thing.
Yeah, like Rick likes to have fun. You know, he's very fucking serious when he's doing his science thing. But when he has fun, he has a ton of fun.
You're right. I wonder a bit, like, so they just need to find ways to generate B plots, because, like, you know, the house party is where one of the B plots is Morty goes to get a crystal that'll bring him back to the reality, but it's actually just space meth. Like, you fool Morty once, shame on Morty. You fool him twice. Okay, that's kind of funny, too. Fool him three times, audience gets impatient and bored.
Fair.
So, plus, they're also trying to make genuine progress with Rick.
Yeah.
You know, like this slippery kind of slope progress where it's like you scramble up a step or two and then you roll back three or four. It is, yeah. And like, how are they going to continue to do that and do that well? You mentioned getting kind of squicked out at the idea of the grandson and the grandfather sucking face. I gotta say, the meta idea of Justin performing this all in the sound booth is just cracks me up. And I wonder, like, did he do all of one side and then they play it back to him and he plays off that, or does he literally just fast swap between the two characters?
Are there two characters in that scene? I don't even know. Like, it feels like there's one character, and it's the character who wants to suck. Like,
it's because Glorzo. That's the Glorzo's not peace. Glorzo is just face fucking.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It didn't seem much of a distinction between Steve and Bruce in that scene.
Another kind of old school Harmontown reference is, I think at least this is what this is, the harmonica. That's got to be go back to the brown note.
Okay.
Right?
Like, that makes a certain amount of sense. I hadn't thought about it.
Did you can play a certain amount of note that just makes people shit their pants and
in this case die.
In this case, I mean, they're shitting their pants so hard that it rips them in half and they die. Oh shit, was there any tie, was there like a harmonica playing in the Alzheimer's commercial on the intergalactic cable? Because like, I'm wondering, like, what was the trigger for the filet I do shits that they had at the end of the episode?
That's a good question.
That scene, man.
It's great.
Like, it's so fucking funny. Like, Beth walks in and is like, say goodbye to your little boy. He's going to die. And they start, like, get on the floor. They take their pants down.
Rick,
why? If you think you're going to explode, do you take your pants down?
This is a trademark Rick move, right? You remember the Vindicators episode where Rick shits the room?
Sure, yeah.
He's in the same position, right? Just face down, ass up, just shitting into the wind.
Yeah, it's not a defensive shitting. It's a projecting.
Yeah, he assumes the shitting position.
You want to leave your mark on your surroundings if you're Rick, apparently, and you're going out on a brown note.
Legacy.
This is his magnum opus. God, I miss international cable so much. This Alzheimer's commercial crack. I mean, look, my grandfather died late stage Alzheimer's. It's a fucking shitty disease. It sucks. But that's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. An Alzheimer's commercial that starts, do you suffer from Alzheimer's? Do you suffer from Alzheimer's? I thought it's a funny joke.
And that's so in that scene where they're shitting themselves to death, potentially, Rick says, like, this is coming full circle. I was trying to figure out what he meant by that. And I remember, like, the pilot was the Seeds episode, right? Where Morty had those
the
seed stuff
seeds
way up his ass.
Yeah, it's at anal canals, young and supple.
I guess that's the connection there. They were,
also,
you said before the podcast, the anal distress was the connection.
Yeah, they were united in their first adventure by the themes of anal distress, and now. But there's also maybe the fact that Morty was like lying convulsing on the ground.
Okay, when he broke his legs and. Yeah.
Well, no, just that was like the mega seeds delayed side effect was that you have like uncontrollable neural, and I can't remember, maybe shitting yourself was part of those side effects that Rick was listing off. But no. So it's come full circle, or it could be that just like, I don't know, that they I'm not sure when Rick breaks the fourth wall how much it makes sense sometimes, because like, also it could just mean that like, hey, we met Rick and Morty were born in front of our eyes and now they're gonna die in front of our eyes.
Sure.
Still, I don't know how that fits on Harmon's story circle.
I'm looking for the lesser and greater fulfillment.
Yeah, you got a type and anti-type. What do you think of the stinger sequence? Because it led to an interesting conversation with my wife and I.
Okay. I mean, there wasn't much to think about it. I kind of want to talk about it with like pairing it up with the other Jerry scene.
Okay, yeah. With the Jerry being a beekeeper and no one even giving close to a fuck about it.
Yeah, no one gives a shit about it. Jerry is just there now because, you know, he needs to be a part of this family.
Eating honey on his pancakes because that actually is probably pretty good.
That's the thing. He looks so self-satisfied, too. Like, I'm sort of happy for Jerry that he's got a thing now, even though I'm sure it's short-lived and I'm sure
it's a big operation. You can make a lot of money at it.
It's true. I don't think beekeeping is something to be laughed at and scoffed, but apparently
plus season 5
is.
Murder Hornets. Like, what's Rick going to do about the Murder Hornets?
Are they setting up Murder Hornets? Is that what's happening?
I mean, we already had Murder Hornets earlier in this season.
Yeah,
you know, they had the Rick and Morty Hornets. Uh-huh. Like, that would be an interesting. What side do you take?
Yeah. So I don't know what to say about her Trisha wanted to fuck Jerry. That's.
Have you ever had a friend express a desire to fuck either of your parents before?
I don't think so. Have you?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I was trying to this seems like a very specific thing, but also, like, you know, everything that happens in Rick and Morty is relatable. So when I find something that's not relatable, I think, who is the person that's supposed to be this related? Now, it could be, I feel like my parents were, like, you know, by the time I was in my adolescence, they were in their mid-40s, solidly middle-aged, Midwestern Americans. Like, their best days were behind them. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, dude, when I turned 18, my dad was 60 years old, so...
Yeah. So it's like the idea that anyone's going to climb either of those poles or either of those trees are my family one. But I asked my wife, and she immediately, is this something guy? And I was also thinking, like, well, maybe if I had a hot mom, like one of my friends would say something, but I'm like, I can't even conceive that.
Yeah.
It's such a transgression. And I ask her about, like, is this something that's like more of a girl thing? And she's like, I don't know about parents, but like, I had tons of friends wanting to fuck my older brother because Cecily's older brother is a very good looking guy, played guitar.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
You know, a little bit of an artist. And she's like, and I'm like, so which point, at what point in the conversation does Summer realize that, like, her friend wants to fuck her dad? She's like, the second she started talking about him.
Right.
And we had this, like, because I guess, like, yeah, she's like, Cecily's like, oh, really? You want to come over and spend the night, do you, Cindy? Uh-huh. Huh? Oh, you need to go down to the kitchen and get a snack because you heard my brother hit the microwave? Like, I guess this is like a slick game the girls run on. To try to scam older brothers and dads.
I mean, I don't know. They didn't make the movie American Beauty for nothing.
Well, now you're talking about adult reciprocation of the fucked up fantasy. But
you think Jerry wouldn't? You think Jerry wouldn't?
Are we ready to add pedophile to the list of many fucking sins?
Just because we haven't seen it doesn't mean it's not true.
Is he? I just want to say he's more.
I'm ready.
No, he's keeping his bees. He's gonna have. He's gonna be the one that saves us in the Murder Hornets. He's gonna turn it all around next season. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you,
he's gonna get the stinger out.
Oh, Jesus, God, no! I don't need Jerry with an ovipositor. Thank you very much. Do you have anything else you want to discuss, or should we get the feedback?
Let's get to feedback. I'm good.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You can send us an interdimensional cable transmission. It's just got to tune into the frequency, rickandmorty@baldmove.com. A couple of your forebears have done so, and here is their feedback. Andrew says, great show. Glad to hear you're back, especially during the pandemic. Well, thank you, Andrew. We're glad to be here. Now that Justin Roiland is on record saying that the Never Ricking story has basically interdimensional cable or Morty's mind blowers for this year, do you think that they will use some of those characters going forward, or was this a big get off our back about overreaching, overarching characters in canon? I'd like to see more of Evil Morty, Snowball, and Tammy. I just hope we get to see more of them going forward. What's your take on that? Do you think that this is them closing the door on continuity, or is this them just, like, getting us all hot and bothered for continuity?
Hmm. I don't think they could totally close the door on it. Like, they've set up stuff, and they got to knock it down eventually. It's just, it's kind of them saying, like, don't be so thirsty for it. Like, let's just keep it in your mind, know it'll come back, and just enjoy it when it does. Not tell me that every single episode I make is garbage because it's not what you want.
Yeah, it's like when you share your Pornhub account with your partner, it's like sexy every once in a while to see what comes up on their timeline. But if they haven't jerked off for a week, it's kind of creepy to be like, hey, well, why aren't you using Pornhub? Right. Can you use Pornhub more? I need you to log into Pornhub right now. Like that crosses the line. I do think that, like, it seems from everything they've said publicly and on like the commentary tracks that they like the lore themselves. They like to explore evil Morty and, you know, Tammy and Bird Person and all that kind of stuff. It's just like, feels like they find that stuff more organically. And they would prefer to wait for like the idea that really cracks everyone up or really drops everyone's jaws than like the first, like, you know, I'm sure they could come up with a million evil Morty plots. It would be pretty good. Mm-hmm. But they want to find the, you know, they want to take it to the next level. They want a Citadel of, you know, the Tale of the Citadel of Ricks kind of adventure where it's about evil Morty, but it's not even about evil Morty.
Yeah, isn't that ultimately what you want? Like, nobody's mind is blown by a week after week kind of story like that. You want something special. You want something that you can, you know, point to and say, oh, look, that's one of the most amazing Rick and Morty episodes.
Yeah,
but you can't do that if every episode is that.
Yeah, you don't want Rick and Morty fan fiction. Like Justin and Dan could absolutely write Rick and Morty fan fiction, and a lot of people would like it, but it wouldn't be as good.
Yeah.
So I'm content to wait. Have you seen Roiland's new show?
Solar Opposites, is that
the
one? No, yeah. I haven't.
I want to. I'm kind of interested. I'm one of the reasons I haven't checked it out is I'm a little concerned that, you know, he's going to find this as a creative outlet, because now that Rick and Morty has, you know, stabilized and matured, that he'll get bored of the project and, you know, he'll have a better outlet for his crazy creative zaniness. And like, man, Rick and Morty would potentially be fatally damaged if too much of that energy got diverted.
I think so. Yeah. I enjoy what Justin brings to the show quite a bit.
Yeah. So I gotta see Solar Opposites to see how much Rick and Morty energy they're bleeding off there.
Yeah.
Just I hear like zany sci-fi fantasy cartoon, and I'm like, oh god, can he do both? Jared H. Hey guys, thanks for coming back to the coverage. I was kind of over at Rick and Morty at the end of the last year, but a few things changed, and I care now. Rick and Morty made me care more. I'm writing to offer a different take on the portal guns and navigating infinite realities that you'll recall that we had based on feedback last episode. Staking out his territory here, Jared says, I don't think it's as impossible to wrangle infinity as you guys discussed. All right. Let's take it as a given that the realities would actually be infinite versus just lots and lots, which I think is debatable. But even given infinite realities, you could split these up into a finite number of chunks that you actually care about. Granted, each of these chunks would still be infinite. That's a lot to grant. I think you've just given up the whole game, Jared, but let's continue to explore.
Okay.
You might have a chunk tagged Rick is alive and another with Morty is alive and so on and so forth. The point is, as long as the categories are limited to things that humans care to differentiate, they are finite. So now I can index into a chunk of infinite realities that match all parameters I care about. For example, Siri, give me any reality where I'm alive and have a formula for COVID-19 vaccine balled up in my underwear drawer. Siri could offer me an infinite matches to those universes, but who cares? Just give me one of them. I can't differentiate them by definition. So the queries obviously would not be so simple. They'd be loaded with boilerplate assumptions like Earth has a breathable atmosphere, bacon exists, Trump's not president, et cetera, et cetera. There are a lot of parameters you would want to include every time, so that once you got a result matching all parameters, you wouldn't really care which of the infinite matches you got back. That's my headcanon for the central finite curve. It's the chunks of realities that a portal gun user can actually differentiate by.
Okay. I mean, I see what you're going for, and I think you're about as right as you can be on this. Like, if you don't care which of those universes you get, as long as it has the one defining quality that you're selecting for, then yes, I would think it would be manageable.
I wonder if Rick's swap, like, if this is true, like, do Rick's swap filter settings, like some kind of recipe? Like, oh man, here's the one where I found the universal consonant that makes redhead sexually permissive.
Yeah.
You know, did they add that kind of stuff into it? Because it's, the problem is like, I actually like this theory because there's so many fucking monkey paw type possibilities you can bury into the whole, like, well, I can't differentiate them by definition. Like, there is so much fucking shit, like, better, you know, better eliminate all the realities where the atmosphere is breathable, but it's full of, like, those fucking irritating hairs tarantulas give off their ass, and you're just full-time in respiratory distress, or
right.
The one where, you know, your dick goes inwards instead of outwards, or it's like, you know... That's like what I'm saying. That's how the genies and the monkey paws fuck you, man.
Absolutely.
And if it works like this way, I want to see Rick and Morty get fucked by the monkey's paw. Maybe literally.
Yeah, I guess there have to be like a base set of filters that never get turned off, right? Because like you said, you don't want the universe where you can't survive. You don't want the universe where the atmosphere is full of toxic hairs. You don't want the universe where the atmosphere is full of shit that you don't even know about. Like, that's the problem, I guess,
right.
Is the infinite unknown variables are unknown unknowns. You don't know that you want to pre-select for these things, and they could end up killing you. It's an incredible game of Russian roulette, I guess, every time they load up this portal gun.
It also gives the AI of the portal a lot of power. I wonder, that would be something interesting to explore. Like, how much, like, is there a shadow cabal of all of Rick's artificially intelligent devices that are secretly plotting? Like, is the car, the teleport gun, and, like, the interdimensional cable descrambler all conspiring to kill him at some point?
Right.
Because if they could, like, the car's already the master of untold realities just in its fucking battery.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's got potential evil overlord capabilities here.
Absolutely.
Like, what kind of fucked up Asimov rules has he got running to keep that from happening?
There's more than three of them, I can tell you that.
There's got to be. Jared wraps up with saying, during the discussion last week, my mind went to the Library of Babel. If you're not familiar, it's a bizarre concept or thought exercise worth checking out. It's essentially a collection of all possible combination of letters, meaning that it contains all possible thoughts and conversations of anyone who has ever lived, as well as a lot of other stuff. I relate this to the portal gun problem because it's a really big collection that can't be solved with the traditional storage and index approach. You need to be able to consistently address into content that is too big to store. That is interesting. Hmm. Like, I know that there's a lot of, like, AI programs now that are doing, like, have you seen, this has been going around the last week or two, the machine learning memes? Where they'll take like the internet meme, the famous internet meme formats, and just like randomize them and combine them. And sometimes they're like super fucking funny. But I guess it's kind of like the works of Shakespeare, you know, like if you have infinite monkeys typing on infinite keyboards, you eventually get them. I've heard some experiments that work like this where they do like random combinations and they have like one process that just shits out gibberish.
Yep.
And another process that goes and finds things that actually have stuff that look like they have syntax and grammar, and kick it up to another process that then decides, okay, does this fit the parameters of literature? So that way you kind of like, you have this big crap generation, and then you have different finite selection systems that, and maybe that's what's all running on the portal gun too.
This is like an analog of the publishing industry, right? You got a whole bunch of authors just banging away at keyboards, and you got an editor, and then you got the publisher.
And then the buying public.
They're all like sifting out the crap from the usable stuff. There's actually a really cool project that I became aware of about a year ago where somebody, this was kind of a response and a project meant to point out the stupidity of copyright law when it comes especially to music, where what they did is they took every single note you can play within an octave or a scale, a particular scale.
Uh-huh.
And they went through and they made every possible melody you could ever make. And they submitted every single one to the copyright company or whatever the fuck it is, you know.
The
copyright agency.
Yeah.
And so now they technically own the copyright on every single melody that you could ever create. And what the fuck does that do to copyright?
What? So did you follow that? Because I saw that as a stunt. Did they get all those approved?
How could they not? That's the thing. Like, if you want to say that you can copyright music and a melody,
yeah,
you have to grant that these people own the copyrights on those.
I mean, if you want a serious answer, like, I found that systems are surprisingly resilient to, you know, attacks from Logic. Like, if they can just simply say, well, we're not going to allow that because if we did, it would destroy our industry. And then, all right.
So what does he have to do? Does he have to go and play each melody on a guitar and submit this as a song?
Yeah, as a public performance. He needs to hook it up to, like, a robot that will play the instrument on YouTube in some kind of eternal 24-hour concert, and as they are performed publicly, they then are copyrighted. Yeah,
I mean, it would be. It points out the stupidity of the whole system.
Right. Right. Yeah. No. I think everyone acknowledges you need to have some stupidity. Like, if you don't have some kind of primacy and reward on the generation of new and novel ideas, then why would anyone think up anything? I understand there's a whole other school of political thought that deals with that, but. Under our way of organizing a society and economy, like, why would you do any work if you're not going to get paid for it, right? But, like, what we've got now, it seems like it's way too far in the other direction. What is it, like, creator plus a million years?
Yeah, 65 lifetimes. I don't even know what it is.
Right.
It's too much.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the heat death of the universe plus Planck time.
Right.
Thanks for that thought-provoking thought experiment, Jared. We'll be back next week with another episode of probably another mind-blowing episode of Rick and Morty. If you'd like to send us feedback, of course, you can do so. rickandmorty@baldmove.com. Thanks for having fun with us this week. We'll see you next time. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
Later.
Pickle Me This is distributed and produced by Bald Move. All music featured on this podcast is from the Rick and Morty soundtrack, available from Sub Pop Records. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To discover the many other great shows we do, please check out baldmove.com. If you appreciate what we do and want to directly support us, consider joining our club at club.baldmove.com to get access to exclusive bonus audio and video features. Finally, you can follow us on your favorite social media at baldmove. See you next time.